Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Steve Ekstrom here from thetourismacademy.org and host of the Business Class podcast. Today's guest, Nan Marchand-Bouvois, Senior Vice President, Industry Relationships and Membership, the GM of ESTO with the U.S. Travel Association. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon.
So what exactly, how would you describe your typical day at work?
Pick a day. I spend a lot of time in meetings. I spend a lot of time, internal meetings. I spend a lot of time talking to our members. I spend a good portion of my time reading, researching, trying to keep up on trends, issues, challenges, opportunities that assail our industry. I do travel a lot, actually.
What do you like most about traveling?
You know, I've traveled all my life. I think I was on a plane before I turned one, if I recall correctly from the stories my mother tells. And I just love being transported to a different place. I love meeting people. I love learning about a place, the history about a place, what makes something special, whether it's for business or my own personal travel. I just like being transported to somewhere else.
What is your earliest travel memory?
Gosh, my earliest travel memory. Moving cross country. I was probably 2.5, 3 years old. We moved from California to New York. And I specifically remember, it's kind of weird, stopping at those little inns, little motels along the road. And my mom had, you know, that square, I guess it's a cosmetic case or a jewelry case with the handle, that old school little carry thing. And I remember her just always taking that from the car and bringing it into the room. And it was always, I just remember that. I've got that in my mind. That's all I remember about the trip. But I do remember stopping at hotels/motels and my mom always carrying that little case with her.
What is something you take with you everywhere you go?
I have this little pouch, which let's just call it my good luck pouch. And in it, I have a crystal. I have some polished black onyx and one or two other little things. It's my little good luck pouch / keep me safe pouch that's in my purse everywhere I go.
How do you see your role within the industry?
My role within the industry. So U.S. Travel is the trade association for the hospitality industry. We really focus on lobbying on behalf of the industry to ensure that the industry can flourish and grow. It's all about facilitating travel to and within the United States. And like I said, we do that through lobbying. We do it through the research that we provide to industry. And we do it by providing opportunities for our members to engage, to learn, to grow. And that's either through, events that we have, either IPW or ESTO, our destination Capitol Hill, our educational platforms online, things of that nature. So I kind of see myself as convening. I call myself internally, I'm an actual practitioner. I'm an industry practitioner because I've held jobs within the industry. I'm not an association executive by any means. I'm not a lobbyist, but I'm a practitioner because I have worked in the theme park attraction space. I have worked in the DMO space. So I've had that corporate and that nonprofit experience in this industry. So I see myself kind of as connecting the dots to make sure that people understand what we do here in Washington, D.C., and what that means to them, either in Wichita or in Los Angeles, or at a hotel, or at a DMO, or at a theme park, why it's important what we do and what it means to them. So distilling it down, what we do, distilling that down to the basic understanding of why it's important for them to know what we do and why it's important to engage in the process.
So why is travel important within the U.S.?
How do I start? Well, obviously, just let's just start with the basics. You know, it's one in nine jobs in the United States. This is pre 2019 data. One in nine jobs in the United States is our industry. It's one of the largest economic drivers in the U.S. It's talk about trade balance that what we have. Our international business going, it's great for that. So that's the economics of it. It is a huge economic powerhouse. You know, everybody's always talking about automotive and tech and everything, but we are huge. I mean, in some states, it's the number one economic business driver in states, right? In some states, in some communities. So there's the economic benefit of what our industry provides to this country. Then when you just look at the experiences and the educational nature of what we do, when you travel, you learn, you grow, and you're enriched as an individual. So it just, for me, it hits on all of the cylinders that I need in my life to be productive and a happy person. You know, travel is my happy space, more so probably on the personal side than on the business side, but it's critically important. I have a hard time running into people who don't even have a passport. I'm like, oh, okay, so you've never ventured beyond. Because I, for me, that's so hard to understand because I'm a global traveler. I've been to every single state in this country. I've been to every single continent except Antarctica, but that's on the list for next year. So I've always traveled. That's how I was raised. My son has been traveling with me since, you know, forever. It's just part of my lifestyle. It's part of my life.
How is your son most like you?
Oh, yeah. He likes room service. He's spoiled. He's kind of a spoiled. He used to call room service the pancake man. Kidding aside, I think that in our travels, I've instilled a sense of adventure and curiosity in his life, and that is something that he takes with him, and that I think comes from being a global individual. Just that sense of curiosity, adventure, and also respect for others, and probably being a little more patient with the unknown, because you get to discover when you travel. So I think those are some of the things that he's taken away from me in all of our travels.
If somebody had asked you when you were in high school what you wanted to be when you grew up, what would you have said?
I wanted to be an international law, or a pediatrician. Those were my go-tos.
How do you see your work now as fulfilling parts of those aspirations?
Doesn't fulfill the medical end of it, thank goodness. That's not needed. But as far as the international law or the international understanding of different, you know, different communities, different peoples, different cultures, I do have that satisfaction of I do travel professionally, internationally, and also personally. So I do get that exposure to different cultures, different peoples, different places. So that I get that.
I could also see how, you know, when you talk about children's wellness, mm-hmm. and your own experience with your son, that travel is part of that enrichment.
It's part of the enrichment. It's part of their education. Absolutely. Yes. I was thinking, you're right.
It's not given. It's not given immunizations.
Correct. It's more than just, the negative or the fix it side. It's the expanding side.
What's something you wish people knew about the travel industry that they don't? or about jobs in the travel industry specifically?
That it is a true business. It's not frivolous. It's not, it should be part of our culture. Like in Western Europe, I mean, you know, they've got so much vacation time and no one can conceive of not having vacation. I mean, was it in France? Is it 6 or 8 weeks? It's part of the culture that you go away to relax, unplug, rejuvenate, learn, experience. And that's something that we're missing here, I think, in the United States. You know, it starts with some jobs you don't even get 5 days off to start with. So that is something that is missing. And I wish that was different. And as far as the other half of your question about the jobs in this industry, I think there's a misconception that this industry is all about being a waiter in a restaurant, being a front desk clerk or housekeeping, or being a flight attendant. And that there's nothing wrong with that. That is part of the infrastructure of our industry. And one of the beautiful things about this industry is that there's so much that can be done. I mean, if you're a math whiz, I mean, you can go off and work for a company that creates roller coasters, physics, that's mathematics. Lots, you know, there's from that to social media, to web development, communications, legal, accounting, all of those trades, things that you can learn and do at school, has a place in this industry. So it's so much more than just what you see or what you perceive it to be. And it can be a very enriching and fulfilling career.
What helps you tune into the present moment?
Looking at life with gratitude. That makes me stop and think.
What's a challenge that you faced for which you're grateful?
People being brutally honest in a nice way with me about either things that I needed to learn, things that I needed to do, things that I could have done differently. I think people being frank. Always with the intent of positive growth, not the intent of tearing someone down or anything like that, but always just because that helps you learn, that helps you grow, that helps you develop. And if everything's always wonderful, then you're not aware. You have no self, you know, helping me get a better sense of self-awareness has been a great gift throughout my career.
There's a phrase that comes to mind. It's you are how others perceive you.
Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely. Even if you're not, if that's not your intent, but the perception is the reality. That's what I always keep in my mind. The perception is the reality.
What's something that you can do on a daily basis to help you get to where you'd like to be in the next year?
Take time for myself. Take 5-10 minutes to just close my eyes, meditate. I don't have to think of one thing, but just set aside some blank mental time. Keeps me balanced, keeps me focused. That's one thing. And also, at the end of the day, this is part of who I am and what I do. It's not everything. I'm blessed with a very full life. And this is just part of it. So just keeping everything in perspective.
What would you say is the secret to maintaining that work-life balance?
Making it a priority. It's just a priority. I don't know how else to say it. It's a priority.
How do you distinguish?
It helps when you have a family. For me, anyway.
And how do you distinguish between your personal travel and your business travel?
Distinguish. What do you mean by how do I distinguish? The places I go or the reasons why I go?
I think overall your experiences, you know, how would you describe yourself as a traveler? Do you travel the same in each case or are you?
No. When I go, I mean, okay, so business travel is there's an absolute purpose. for going to X, Y, and Z place. I'm either attending a conference, attending a meeting, meeting with a member, speaking at an event or something like that. There's this defined purpose. And when I travel for myself on my own personal time, it really is all about discovery. And it's not always planned, not at all always planned. I just know that I'm going to show up in Prague for 3 days, just take it from there. Whereas I can't do that on business travel. It's much more scheduled and purposeful and mindful, whereas I can really do what I want when I travel personally. I usually know what part of the world I'm going to or what I'm going to experience, but then there's much more flexibility in how I create those experiences for myself.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Keep an open mind on everything. There's so many pieces of advice, and always see the positive, even in the most difficult of circumstances. That goes along with keeping an open mind.
Who do you look up to as a mentor?
Wow. In this industry, one of my first bosses, Trudy Vaisadamini, taught me that you could be female and that you could be taken seriously and respected as a woman in industry and in business. There's writers, there's philosophers from Roman times. There's a lot. But I would have to say I'm probably in this industry because of Trudy. So she's long retired, lives out in Southern California, down in San Diego County area. But I'm here because of her.
When was the last time you talked to her?
We talk via email and text. And I think the last time was probably in May when I sent her a photo of my son who was graduating from college. She was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Yeah, that was the last time I communicated with Trudy.
How would you hope other people describe you?
That I'm a mentor, that I'm someone who you can laugh with, someone that you can learn from, and that I'm pretty easygoing.
What do you think are some of the biggest challenges facing the tourism industry now?
Well, it's the unknown. You know, that's always been a challenge, but I think in the times that are presenting itself, you know, you start with, will there be recession or is it just a soft landing, a hard landing? What's happening with recession? What's happening with sustainability, the ecology around the world? What's happening with war? I mean, we're threatened. There are so many threats. You've got Ukraine. You have what's going on in China. You have North Korea. You have all of that. But the thing that I'm also a little fearful for is the isolationist mentality that I see around in the United States, closing down borders, not being open. I think all that has a negative impact on our industry. All these huge macro things that we can't control, but we have to be aware of them. And that's why that awareness, understanding what that is and what it means and how it impacts is important.
There is something sitting on your shelf that is catching my eye. It looks like a golden ostrich, emu.
Oh, God.
What is that?
So at Esto, we have the Mercury and Destiny Awards, which recognizes marketing excellence. And every year, based on the venue, the location, we used to theme the actual award to the state, right? And that's a golden flamingo because we were in Florida. So I have a beer growler to the right of that when we were in Portland, Oregon. The pink flamingo is from a from when we were in Boca Raton, Florida. And then to the far, far right, I have a more sedate looking, that was when we were in Austin, Texas, when we went more with a more unified look and not such a crazy look. When we were in Louisville, Kentucky, I had bourbon barrel heads with the actual, with the inscriptions for the awards. So I've had a lot of fun with it.
What's the best gift you've ever given somebody?
The gift of my full attention and time. You can't buy that. You can't put a price on that. I know I'm being really like, you know, earthbound here, but it's
no,
important.
I like it.
Yeah.
Do you think, or how do you think the next generation of leaders in the tourism industry, how do you think they'll develop the skills that they need to get us to the next level?
I think it's the soft skills, the people skills, because you can learn just about anything, but it's truly the soft skills, the people skills, the communications, the having that open mind, the ability to have foresight, be strategic. Some of that is learned, and some of that is learned is part of growth and maturity. Having that open mind, and being able to listen and hear, two different skill sets, but being truly able to listen and hear. I think the younger generation coming up is more in tune with the needs of those around them, including the universe. So it's going to be a very different, I think 15, 20 years from now, it's going to be a very different industry, I think, just because of the changing needs of our environment. So it'll be interesting to see how people lead and grow and adapt with that. Have the technology needed, the resources, you know, to deal with that.
If there is something you could change about your work, what would it be?
Besides winning lotto, you know, one person won that ticket in California, somewhere in California. One person, God bless them. Wow, that's life-changing. One thing I can change about my work, I wish that we could truly had something for everyone in the industry. It doesn't work that way, obviously, because we're fairly focused on what we do. But just making sure that everyone got the value that they needed from us and the engagement that they want from us.
Where do you think that's lacking now?
I don't know that it's lacking, but I think change is happening so quickly. I don't know that we're always keeping up. I like to be 2 to 3 steps ahead of our members. And that's tough to do when things change so quickly. So don't want to lose sight of the needs as things change for internal and external reasons.
This is true. And I think, you know, trade associations in particular have seen their membership base transform over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
How have you seen it change?
Well, our membership is pretty constant because we're a trade association. So what I have seen is a lot of the smaller and mid-sized organizations really joining our association because they believe in the mission and we're able to deliver, especially during COVID. We provided so much information. We really helped unlock funding for those smaller organizations that needed it. So I've seen a shift as far as our members, because we always have the big guys. We always have the big organizations. But seeing smaller and mid-sized organizations understanding the value of what we do and how it impacts that their what they do has been kind of cool. Because this industry is made up of organizations of all sizes, large and small, medium, all different geographies across the U.S. Obviously, you know, there's always the big organizations pretty much set the tone, but being able to find your space within that is nice.
Why should somebody who's graduating from college soon look to work in the tourism industry?
I think it should be considered because there's so much that can be done. And I think people don't see our industry. It's like we need a PSA that this is a great industry. It's financially, it can provide with a very fulfilling financial lifestyle. It's fun. It's sexy. It provides a lot of engagement. So I just think people don't really know what this industry is. Like I said earlier, it's more than just a hotel front desk or in a restaurant or something like that. There's so much more. So I'd love to be able to find a way to start those conversations fairly early on, like in high schools, about all the different opportunities. Like, I didn't know what a DMO was when I was in high school. Oh, someone actually gets paid to promote and sell a destination or a theme park? You know, I didn't know that when I didn't go to school thinking about this industry. We didn't even have hospitality and leisure at UCLA, and I still don't think they do. But yeah, but it's just having that awareness that there are choices to be had out there in industries that are very diverse. And now the way with everything on web, social, online, all of that, that even adds more to the mix of what can be done.
Is there anything I didn't ask that you wish I did?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. There may be something I wish I didn't say, but hey, you can always edit that
out. We can. Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
I'm curious as to why you decided to be a digital nomad and live out of a trailer for more than a year. Or, I'm sorry, a mobile home.
You know, I never saw myself as somebody who would say, I'm going to live an RV life or a van life or anything like that. I never saw myself as doing that. What had happened for me was that I had to travel 130 to 150 nights a year for work. And that sort of work travel is daunting. And I didn't really enjoy it. But like we discussed before we started recording, people who are in the tourism industry, we talk about the people that we meet and the friendships that we make with folks from around the world. Mm-hmm. And when I was selling my house, I knew I didn't want to buy something right away. And the idea came to me, well, why don't I just go live on an island for a year? Or why don't I just go island hop or whatnot? And then I started putting dots on the map of places that I hadn't been or places that I had been but not experienced and friends that I'd made in the industry but don't get to see often enough. Mm-hmm. And I just started connecting the dots and it turned into, you know, a year plus of travel.
A really long road trip.
A very long road trip. 22,000 miles as of today. So, it was never something that I thought out. It's never something that I planned out. It just sort of worked out. And it's been a fun adventure.
Awesome. And do you see yourself doing that for your, what's in store for you for the future?
So I don't know that I can see myself resting in any one place for 12 months a year. I can definitely see myself bouncing between a couple homesteads or, you know, casitas, maybe one in Florida, maybe one somewhere out of the country. But still having the flexibility to travel and to visit with friends and family and, you know, spend more time with people who are more important.
Yes.
And learning. And I'm a nerd. You know, I am a nerd, and I think that's something that we share, people who work in the industry share with travelers, is a constant yearning for knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I learn something new every day, whether it's talking to people like you or the work that we do and the people on our advisory panel or, you know, what type of plant it is outside my window today or
Yeah.
You know, how to spot a scorpion at night so you don't step on them. You know.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good one to know about.
Cool. It is.
Well, yeah.
If folks want to learn more about U.S. Travel and the programs that you put together, how would they go?
ustravel.org. And if you want to reach out to me, just please shoot me an email. And that's N, B as in boy, E-A-U, V as in Victor, O-I-S, nbeauvoir@ustravel.org. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk to you today.
Thank you. I appreciate you too. And I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Great. And pleasant journeys. Enjoy the caverns. I've always wanted to go to those. It's on the list.
I'll let you know how they are.
Take care. Thanks a lot.